Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
On the Fan. McMonagle here with you for the next 3 hours. I take it at 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we're taking your calls at 888-808-1019. You can watch me on the live stream on YouTube right now. Listen through the Odyssey app. Listen through the radio. Right here on the Fan. We'll get to the baseball. We'll get to the Yankees' pitiful performance against what normally is the doormat of the Minnesota Twins. And all the different things that come with that game, why it annoyed me so much. But I'm still hung up on these two football teams. As we're watching more football last night, and the Tampa Bay Bucks, who the Jets will head down to Tampa to take in week number 3, and Baker Mayfield going down the field, and what Baker Mayfield has become after getting away from the Browns, the brief stint with the Rams, St. Louis. What was this, 10 years ago? And obviously what he's become with Tampa Bay, we'll get to it in a second, but I can't stop thinking about these two teams, what happened in week number 2, what happened on Sunday, and where these two coaches are. And we just heard from Aaron Glenn there in the update, and I'm thinking about the tough spot that both these teams are, and that's pretty obvious, right? Tough spot that both these teams are. Well, I mean, obviously coming off the debacle that was the Jet game, where they were just non-competitive, right? Following that week number 1, where they played well against Pittsburgh, they came out offensively, looked like they had a game plan, looked like they executed it, a lot of high hopes for Justin Fields. Bob, we all know how well they played. The defense let them down. It took a 60-yard field goal to beat them. And then they follow that up with the slop that was that game against Buffalo, just the absolute disaster. And then you turn to the New York Giants and Brian Daboll, and both these coaches are kind of under the gun and under fire for different reasons. Clearly, Aaron Glenn's not going anywhere. It's week 2 of his opening season of his career as head coach at the New York Jets. But there's no doubt the honeymoon is over. And there's no doubt, and I said this when he took over, and I said this when pretty much the reason they hired him was because of culture and accountability. And he's going to start something here, and he's going to build a winning culture. And winning cultures, they only take root if you win. And it's hard to be a coach that is going to come here and change everything about the franchise and instill this new belief that they're going to suddenly become something and you're going to build this winning culture and you come out there and blow a game you should win and then get demolished while doing things like holding players accountable and cutting, you know, Gibson, the kick returner who fumbled, and then coming out and watching your team fall flat. The honeymoon is over. It's a fan base that is waiting for the next shoe to drop, waiting to declare him the next failed head coach like so many others. He gets in front of the podium, in front of the media after the game and gives you the same, you know, non-answers. I thought he knew this town. That's the other reason why he was hired, because he knew this town. Right? He knows what it's like. He could tell you how windy and cold it was in the championship game against the Denver Broncos in 1998. He's part of the furniture. And yet he comes out to the media and gives you the, well, I have to watch the tape. To every question. The honeymoon is over, and now he's got to find a way to get this team back on track, go into Tampa and take on what, as I'm watching the highlights right now, if you're watching on the chat, I'm pointing, otherwise you wouldn't. I'm pointing at the television as I'm watching the highlights of this game last night against the Texans, where they go into Houston and take care of business, have the ball with, what, 3 minutes left, less than 3 minutes left, go down there and put a game-winning, you know, score together. And they have to go in there and take on that team and find a way to get back up off the ground and figure out a way to instill this new winning culture that this team is supposed to buy in after the performance you got with a quarterback who's now dealing with a concussion, and that's what he's got to do. And that's nothing compared to what Brian Daboll's got to do. And what Brian Daboll has to do, and we joke about the season being over by October, and we joke about, you know, the season being over by Halloween, and it's the same thing, and it's 10 years in the last 13 where the team starts 0-2 and all of that. But that's all the outside noise. Inside, and if you've heard, if you've listened to any of the reporting, Connor Hughes of SMY said it was like a morgue inside that locker room. And you're hearing reports today that Dexter Lawrence, what I deem to be outside of, you know, him and Andrew Thomas, if only Andrew Thomas ever played, are the two best players. I mean, Dexter Lawrence is the best player on this team. And he's getting fed up. Now, he didn't play very well in that game and hasn't played all that well to start the year, coming off an injury, having a child, all that. But he's getting fed up. And that loss against the Dallas Cowboys, to lose that game in the manner in which they lost it, to score all of those points. This is a team under Brian Daboll over the last 4 years. This is a team that has Andrew Thomas on the team, that has Dexter Lawrence on it, a team that has mainstays on this team that haven't experienced play like that for. I was just talking with Marco, and both of us talking about how it's disgusting how positive I still felt after the game. As ugly as it was, as annoyed as I was, as mad as I was at the defense and everything else, part of me, too much of me, more than I'd like to admit, came away thinking, at least it was a game. At least there was offense. At least they went down the field. At least they threw for 400 yards. At least they put up points. They scored 37 points. They're moving in the right direction. It looked like a football team. That's fine for me to feel. It's fine for the fan base to feel. Inside that locker room, that is a devastating loss. That's a loss the likes of which that team has not experienced. They've experienced the season spiral out of control, get their ass kicked, Daniel Jones gets jettisoned, and that was its own, that came with its own complications when they decided to make a move and get rid of the quarterback for contract situations. Because we all know, as bad as Daniel Jones has been for the Giants, and I know he's played well the last 2 weeks, but as bad as he was for the Giants, he's better than Drew Lock. And they made that decision based on the idea he gets hurt. They didn't want to lock into the contract. They wanted to draft a young quarterback, blah, 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 blah. And it sent shockwaves through the room because it guarantees, or at least it sends that message, that the season is over. So this team has dealt with losing. They've dealt with the season being over. But they haven't dealt with the idea that they brought in a Hall of Fame quarterback. And if you've listened to any of the interviews done, if you've heard some of the reporting on the team, they believe in Russell Wilson. And I know Russell Wilson's silly and let's ride and all the crap and the, you know, everything that went on in Denver and all the teammates that hate him in Seattle. He came into the New York Giants and brought some credibility to a position where there hasn't been for forever. And he's been bought into as the leader of this team. There was expectations with this team. They had a couple of good drafts. They played well in the preseason. There was some anticipation to getting off to a good start this year and playing well. And they emphasized what kind of good start they were going to get off to. And then they come out, have the absolute disaster against Washington, and buy in, pick themselves up, and go out there and offensively play the best game that these eyes of a Giant fan has seen since Eli Manning. And go out there and throw for 450 yards and do everything they could. Take the lead with 25 seconds left. And it's still not good enough. And right now, this coach, who I know is on the hot seat, who I know has, you know, four or five different ways to save his job, whether it's win games early, whether it's show that there's some offense with Russell Wilson, or obviously when Jackson Dart enters the conversation, show that you're making progress with Jackson Dart, win just enough games to compete, be in the hunt column come November and December on the bottom of the right side screen as they're going over the divisions. Like, there's a million different ways for Brian Daboll to keep his job. Well, I can tell you one way, one surefire way to lose it, and that's by losing this team. And this is now the third year where they have started out 0-2 under Brian Daboll, third consecutive year. And they just lost a game in a manner in which this group is not used to. They played well enough to win and still lost. And if you hear what's going on inside that clubhouse, they were dead after the game. And now you're hearing Dexter Lawrence isn't happy and all this. He has not only does he have to figure out a way to welcome in the Kansas City Chiefs at 0-2. Who haven't been 0-2 in the entire time of the great Patrick Mahomes, probably even Andy Reid. When Andy Reid took over, they probably haven't gone 0-2. And the idea that they're going to go 0-3 You're welcoming in the three-time defending AFC champion and one of the great franchises and practically a dynasty at 0-2, desperate for a victory. And if you allow the same thing that Aaron Glenn allowed, where you had a good performance, a positive performance, a good offensive performance, everybody talking about how well the quarterback played and how it was actually a football game and it was better than expected, and you got to build on that. So not only does he have to take a group that felt like they completely wasted their best performance in years, a group that is devastated by another 0-2 season, a group that is staring another miserable season right in the face, and they know how long it is. They know how many weeks this season is. They know how hard it is. They know how many practices there are. They know how the physical toll it takes on their body. They know what awaits them for nothing. For nothing. For no hope or promise of anything other than maybe developing the future of the team? Because that's where we'll turn our attention real quick. But this coach in Brian Daboll, whose job is on the hot seat, who has to find ways to win games, has to find ways to develop a young quarterback, has to find ways to get this group back up off the floor so that it can welcome in the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Because what this group cannot do, no one expects them to win the game. No one expects them to win the game. But what they cannot do is get embarrassed on national television, Sunday Night Football, and make it look like last week that offense was a fluke. Last week that was based on a lousy Cowboy team, down their best cornerback, and that's why you were able to put up those kind of yards. And the minute you face a legitimate defense, it's going to be back to the same crap we have seen forever. This is where you find out. So many have already made up their minds about Brian Daboll. I have not. That first year maybe did something to me. I don't know. I'm not saying he's a great head coach. Right now I'm leaning towards this will be the last handful of games I give a damn about Brian Daboll, and I'll be ready to move on to whoever the next coach is going to be. But right now, this guy has to figure out a way to get this group that is clearly distraught, devastated, and probably partly dysfunctional after a loss that you can't fathom. After they played their best game, honestly, that's the best game the Giants, that's what's so friggin' frustrating about it and why I have so much mixed emotions about it, because it's the best damn Giant game I've seen in years. Years. They go into that building and get their ass kicked year in and year out. And for them to go in there and put a dagger, or what should have been a dagger, in the end zone on a 50-yard bomb to take the lead with 25 seconds left and still lose the game, that's something that's very difficult to get out of. That's something that's very difficult to respond from. And we're going to find out about this coach. We're going to find out about this team. And the owner, who is right now probably in the middle of making his mind up about the future of this organization with the GM and the coach, he's going to have to find out whether or not he can get this group to respond off of that loss. Is this going to be the building block where the offense found itself and they start performing like an actual football team moving forward? Or is that going to be the kind of loss that sets in and makes everybody feel like they know what this team is? A bunch of freaking losers. Who's going to show up Sunday night against the Chiefs? And that, for both of these coaches right now, you've got a game in Tampa against a 2-0 Bucs team that's got a quarterback with a pair on him that just, I mean, he is fearless. He is fearless. And you got to go down to Tampa and handle him off of a disastrous performance without a quarterback. And this is about winning culture. And you're supposed to be able, one thing that this coach, Aaron Glenn, is supposed to be able to do, one thing: make sure his team is prepared and ready to play every single week. That's the only thing that he was guaranteed, or that they sold us that we could expect when they hired Aaron Glenn. You knew it wasn't going to be great offense. He's a defensive head coach. And they were playing with a quarterback that I still don't think is very good, even after week one. The calling card of this team was going to be beat the man in front of you, show up every week, clean up the mistakes. That's what you can expect from an Aaron Glenn-led team. You saw it in week one, You saw the exact opposite in week two. Who shows up week three? And for the New York Giants, this is about a coach whose job is on the line, and this is about a coach who's been here now for 4 years, who's got to figure out a way to get a team over the fact that they played their best game in years and still can't find ways to win. That they're up with 25 seconds left and their star wide receiver is given the sleep sign like they put the Cowboys to sleep only to get beaten in overtime. A defense that doesn't allow 37 points to be enough. A defense that allows them to go down the field and kick a 64-yard field goal. They must feel cursed. They must feel like there's nothing they can do. And this coach has got to find a way to get them off the ground and make sure that this is the first step of what should be a building piece into becoming a decent enough football team to have a freaking season. Because we could joke about what 0-3 means. Sure. Does 0-3 mean they're not going to the playoffs? Yeah. Yeah, it probably does. It almost certainly does. Does it mean they don't have to have a season? No. They could still have a season. They can still win enough games to somehow make it mathematically possible. They can still win enough games and play well enough where they can fool us and themselves into thinking there's a season. And right now, I know I'm a tanker. There is no tanking this year. They've got the young quarterback. They're going to go to him eventually. They have to go win games. You got Russell Wilson trying to keep his face on the cover of the magazine for as long as he can. You got a coach desperate to prove that he can rally the troops and that he can create an offense and that he can win some football games before going into full develop the young quarterback mode. You got a GM who's trying to prove that he can draft players and that he can have impact players and that he's not going to be known for the whiffs of Evan Neal and Baker. And you've got a group of players who are supposed to breathe new life into this franchise, who had a great preseason, and then who came out and played the best game we have seen the New York Giants play in 10, 12 years, and still lost. We're going to find out a lot about these coaches over the course of this week. We're going to find out a lot about these coaches on Sunday when they have two games that are very difficult against teams that are expected to beat their ass, coming off of, in two separate different ways, devastating losses that shake the foundation of the teams to their core already in week number two. Aaron Glenn, the honeymoon is over, and he's got to find a way to get this thing stabilized. And Brian Daboll has got to find a way to at least make a game of it and not allow the same thing that happened to the Jets from week one to week two. They've got to come out and play well again. If they get embarrassed and have no offense, and this is 31-3, I don't know how long Brian Daboll has. And I've never thought they would fire someone midseason, and I still don't think they will. But we will know very early on whether or not this coach is going to have a chance to develop this young quarterback. Because there's a level of play that's acceptable to this owner. And I do think, despite the loss, you could argue this Sunday was that. They've got to find a way to do it again. And all the reporting is that this team is freaking devastated. We're going to find a lot about these two coaches right here. A coach that's supposed to change the franchise for the Jets and a coach that's hanging on because he developed Josh Allen. And damn it, we're going to give him a young quarterback and we're going to let him develop him. But he's also got to be the leader of men. And we're going to find out if he's capable of doing that on Sunday. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get more into, if you want to call and complain about what happened on the field on Sunday, I was here Monday night. I've already done that. We could do it again if you'd like. We'll get to the baseball as well. The Mets, I mentioned the Yankees. The Mets start against the Padres this final run, 12 games left of the season, 13 games left of the season. One game up in the wild card. Cincinnati won last night. One game up in the wild card. And this final run to make sure they don't have one of the most disastrous seasons in Mets history. So we got a lot going on. We got the Yankees sleepwalking through Minnesota. And we got these two coaches figuring out who they are this early in the season already. It's a disaster, these two teams. It's every year with this.